Good morning, members. I will call the meeting of this virtual meeting of State Government Finance and Elections Committee to order for Friday, February 19th, 2021. I will have the legislative assistants. And before we do that, pursuant to Rule 10.01, we are holding this meeting virtually. I'll have the committee legislative assistant take the roll.
Chair Nelson?
I'm here.
Vice Chair Carlson?
Present.
Representative Nash?
Present.
Representative Bonner?
Present.
Representative Drazkowski?
Present.
Representative Elkins?
Present.
Representative Greenman?
Present.
Representative Cleborne?
Present.
Representative Kosnick?
Present.
Representative Mason?
Present.
Representative New Brindley?
Present.
Representative Pulowski?
Pulowski present.
Representative Quam?
Present.
The quorum is present.
Thank you, Ms. Spreck. And members, with the approval of minutes, and just one note on the minutes, yesterday we ran out of time. At the end, Representative Elkins had been trying to get through on the vote on the Bonner bill, and wanted to be recorded as having voted for it. And so that's in the minutes. So with that, Representative Elkins, do you want to move the minutes?
I move the approval of the minutes.
Representative Elkins moves approval of the minutes from February 18th, 2021. All those in favor say aye.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
I would want to talk about the minutes from yesterday. And you and I talked last night. But I'm not sure how my side can vote for the minutes based on the fact that there was a procedurally higher motion on the table that was not properly dealt with, so that the minutes reflect that that motion was made, but the motion was never carried out or dealt with. So I'm not sure how you can move the minutes appropriately.
Well, Representative Nash, we plan on taking care of that this morning, that we're going to bring Nason's bill back up the table. We ran out of time under this virtual world, and with IT, we're restricted in the time we have, and we ran out of time, so the meeting had to be adjourned. We take House File 527 up to deal with the vote that with the motion that was made. Representative Nash.
Well, Mr. Chair, certainly I don't have the votes to prevent you from doing something as basic as the minutes, but I do have trouble with the fact that the minutes will not reflect that a procedure that was put in place and put into committee properly was not effectively dealt with. So,
well, Representative Nash, the meetings are run by the chair, and the chair has to recognize the people. And it's not just screaming up and saying a motion. You have to be recognized before a motion can be made. Nobody was recognized. We were out of time. We were adjourning the meeting. That's why we laid the bill over. And adjournment is a higher motion. That is actually a higher motion than any other motion. That's the highest motion to adjourn or to adjourn the meeting.
Very well, Mr. Chair, it's your world.
Well, thank you. And members, just a reminder that all conversations need to go through the chair. You need to be recognized by the chair. I know we've at times we're a little lax on that, but that is the way we're supposed to be doing it, so that one person is talking at a time and we're not talking over each other. So, again, approval of the minutes. All those in favor of approval of the minutes.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kosnick.
I've had my hand up, and if I could just make a couple comments, and I appreciate the discussion between Lead Nash and yourself, and I think it's an important discussion to have. It's kind of like the second time, at least in this committee, and, I'd like to have this conversation offline, but working virtually, it's very limited to be able to do that, but I think it's important enough that we recognize the voice of the minority in this process. And you have a difficult job as a chair, more difficult virtually, to recognize the members, allow for adequate testimony. And I think it just, the majority needs to understand that at the end of the day, you're going to have the votes to do whatever you want in and out of committee. And we recognize that as well. But in our process, through Mason's, it's established that the minority voice should be recognized in debate. And I think part of the problem is that we are not being allowed to participate in the debate as a committee much. And like I said, I recognize the challenges of chairing a meeting, and I've had the honor to do that in the past as well. But we're here to have a discussion and debate and flesh out the ideas through the committee. Representative Elkins and some of your other members didn't get a chance to speak. And for the process to work much more smoothly and to more smoothly work as a committee together, I think it would help us all if we had a little bit more respect for the voice of the minority to be able to say the issues and policies that are important to us through the chair. And it will go more smoothly if that voice and process is more adequately respected. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, and I appreciate your time and indulgence.
Representative Kosnick and members, again, we are limited by the time frames that we have for the meetings. Unlike when we are present in the Capitol, the state office building, when we have a little bit of leeway after the meetings, we are under a time crunch because IT needs to be able to switch over and get ready for the next meeting that follows us. We don't have that 15 minutes of leeway. We have to be done at 10. We didn't get done till 10:04 yesterday. I've been working very hard to try and make sure that if we have multiple people with their hands up and we're running out of time, that I let the minority, have their say and be the ones to ask the questions. But we need to also all be cognizant of the fact that we have a limited time, and we need to make sure that we get the things done that we need to get done in the meetings. And that's Representative Kosnick, we are heading on to this. And members, all in favor of the minutes from February 18th, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
The minutes have been approved. And with that, Representative Mason, we're going to bring your bill back in front of the meeting. I move that we bring the bill, House File 527, back in front of the committee. And Representative Nash, you have a motion that you were making yesterday or trying to make yesterday when we ran out of time. Representative Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you for the conversation last night. And I do recognize that on most days you make a great attempt to let the minority have a voice in committee, but yesterday, as the bill was winding down, we had an amendment that still hadn't been taken up, still has not been taken up, and I believe that the proper thing to do would be, since you now got the bill back in front of the committee, to allow Representative Quam to offer his amendments, because laying the bill on the table now is a little bit anticlimactic. I tried to do that so that we could come in today with the bill still on the table, take it off the table, bring it before the committee, and allow Representative Quam to do his second amendment on the bill from yesterday, House File 527. So that would be my desire, Mr. Chair, is to finish the conversation relative to that bill. And I understand that the bill yesterday you laid it over, but it is now before the committee, and would really appreciate your willingness to let Representative Quam do his amendment from yesterday, which I'm sure he's prepared to do.
Representative Nash and members, this bill is being laid over. Hopefully that the people that are working on the bill, the author of the bill and the opponents of the bill, can work together sometime in the future if and when the bill comes forward. At that point in time, we can deal with the other amendments. If we don't want to do the other piece of just letting you have your vote, that you wanted to do, lay it on the table. I can lay it over and we can move on to the next bill. If we want to waste time arguing about this, we're going to be having a long meeting, and we're going to have a lot of long meetings. I would like to be able to get the bill set aside, and so that the members, the author of the bill and the opponents of the bill, can work on this in the interim before we take it up again, if we take it up again and try and get it worked out, the differences they have. So, well, Mr. Chair, if you want your motion.
Mr. Chair, I would say that the comment that you just made about wasting time says to me that the voice of the minority is wasting time. So, again, it's your committee. I will acquiesce to you, but I believe that we should take up Representative Quam's amendment, and that it is not a waste of time, and that allowing process to be process is not a waste of time. And I would point out to you, Mr. Chair, the first time that you and I met was when I was in state government finance, you were in the minority, and we allowed for all of your amendments to go on. We would consult with you as we were moving throughout the process of the committee, would walk over at times, the chair would come over and chit-chat with you quickly. And if time was running out and you still had amendments and people to talk, we would come back at a later date or later time that day. Now, I certainly understand that that is a smaller wrinkle, but we have done that in other committees where we've come back later that evening. So I would point out that it is not a waste of time to allow the minority to have its voice and to bring forward its amendments. So with that, Mr. Chair, I guess I'm going to let you do whatever you feel like you have to do.
So Representative Nash, do you want to make the motion that you were trying to make when we ran out of time yesterday?
At this point, Mr. Chair, since it really has lost its steam and you don't intend to allow the amendment to go on, I guess not.
Then, Mr. Chair, or Representative Nash, I will lay the bill over for possible inclusion at a later date. With that, members, we'll move on to House File 1160, and I'm going to hand the chair over to Representative Carlson. And Representative Carlson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Why don't you... Let's see. Why don't you proceed with moving your bill?
Members, I'll move House File 1160 and to be re-referred to Ways and Means Committee. Members, this is the Secretary of State's technical election bill that he's been working on for a few years. And as in the past, the Secretary of State has said that things that there are portions of the bill that if there's just not disagree, there's not agreement on, that he's willing to pull them out so that we have a bipartisan supported bill here. And with that, members, I will hand the over to Sam Bronowitz from the Secretary of State's office, and she can walk us through the parts of the bill.
Ms. Bonowitz, before you begin with your testimony, members, just to set some parameters around this particular bill, we absolutely have to wrap this one up by 9:30. So it is about 8:45 right now. That gives us a good 45 minutes to debate this bill, but we will be moving this bill at 9:30. So please, when we do get to member Q&A, that we are succinct with our questions. I'll remind members that we have several testifiers as well as four amendments. So let's get to work on this. Ms. Borowitz, please proceed with your testimony.
Chair, members, my name is Sam Bonowitz, and I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Office of the Secretary of State. As Chair Nelson said, House File 1160 is the Office's Technical Elections Administration Bill. It is a bill of technical, clarifying, and non-controversial changes to our election laws recommended by local election administrators around the state. It is my understanding that Mr. Gehring will give a more thorough section-by-section walkthrough of the bill, so you'll hear just how technical some of these changes are. Things like clarifying that the person receiving the most votes in their election is the one duly elected, or moving language simply from one subdivision to another for clarity purposes, and et cetera. Of the 74 sections of this bill, only about 12 of them have new language in them, falling into the limited new changes this year that we have of extending the absentee balloting processing timeline to 14 days instead of 7 days, like we have right now. But in 2020, if you remember, that timeline was extended to 14 days to accommodate for an increase in absentee voting that we expect to continue to see. It also allows first responders and utility workers to use UOCAVA voting procedures for voting absentee when they're working out of state and Hurricane Sandy and ambulance drivers that went to New York to help with COVID response. It also has some litigation cleanup. And finally, it eliminates the Help America Vote Act funds deadlines for when those funds need to be used by. These deadlines were placed into state law to align with the federal deadline of when the funds had to have been used by. But the federal EAC has since eliminated these deadlines to allow states to utilize these funds until expended. Every other provision in this bill has been a part of our previous administration bills that have enjoyed bipartisan support. Thank you, Chair Nelson, for offering and hearing this bill today. Both myself and the Office's Director of Elections will be available today should there be any questions for us. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none. Mr. Gearing, I have you next on the list of testifiers to walk us through the bill.
Mr. Chair, do you want me to do an entire section by section walkthrough of the bill or just the high points?
Well, let's go to the bill author. Chair Nelson, what is your preference?
Why don't we do the high points? We have some amendments that are on there, and so let's do the high points, and if there are questions, we can.
Very good. Very good. Mr. Gearing, please proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, so this is House File 1160. As Ms. Bonowitz said, this is a largely sort of administrative and technical changes bill for the Secretary of State's office. A number of the sections that you see in the bill are changing. It's on the same concept. It's sections that update terminology related to a person's residence for voting. You'll see that it changes wording from a person maintaining residence to a place where a voter resides, which Ms. Bonowitz can describe in more detail the impact of that. There are a number of other sections that this committee has seen before in past bills that effectively update other types of terminology in election statutes. One substantive change that I'll highlight for you is that this bill does codify the extension of the absentee voting window where ballots can be opened and counted from 7 days to 14 days. And there's a series of sections in the bill that implement that change. And Mr. Chair, I think that I'll maybe defer to all of you on other pieces of the bill and just take questions if you have them, because it does, there are 75 sections in the bill and it would probably take a while to go through each of them.
That sounds good. In previewing the bill myself, I'm like, I was kind of grateful to hear that we were going to do the high level overview. So appreciate that. So Mr. Gearing, of course, available to answer any questions. I do not see any other testifiers for this particular bill. Chair Nelson, we've got four amendments. Seems like an appropriate time to get through those. Oh, wait a minute. We do have more testifiers. Okay.
I believe those are after the bill, after we get the bill on.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, let's do amendments next. We have the A1 amendment. Chair Nelson, I see that's your amendment.
I'll move the A1 amendment. And that's just a secretary, I think Ms. Bonowitz can describe it, but that it's just an amendment that the Secretary of State has brought forward, a cleanup amendment. Ms. Bonowitz, I guess. And Chair needs to call on her.
Yes, I'm sorry. Ms. Bonowitz, please proceed with testimony on the A1 amendment.
Chair members, this is just a technical fix to the drafting. It allows first responders and utility workers to vote using UOCAVA absentee voting procedures as was intended. Right now, the bill language just stops at that they can vote absentee, but they already have that right, of course. And then it just updates language to say presidential nomination primary rather than presidential nomination party, which again was just a drafting error.
Okay. And thank you. And I apologize, folks. Just for procedural purposes and for the record, was the bill moved and was it referred as stated? I don't believe I did. So this bill has been moved to Ways and Means, correct? Is that where this bill is going to?
Correct. That was my motion.
Okay, wonderful. Just wanted to make sure we got that. Again, anything further? Questions on the A1 amendment? Representative Nash, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, just a
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Quick question procedurally. This bill is being referred to Ways and Means, but there doesn't Correct. Appear to be a fiscal note. Wondering why that might be.
Yes. Chair Nelson, what's the status on a fiscal note?
I don't. The bill's being moved to Ways and Means because of the HAVA dollars that are in it and the changing of the data on the spending of the HAVA dollars. That's why it's being moved to Ways and Means. And hopefully we'll get a fiscal note before it gets heard in Ways and Means. But that's basically why it's going there, because of the HAVA dollars that are in there and extending or eliminating that deadline.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wondering if it would be more prudent to hold it in possession of the committee until that is done, so we can appropriately and from an informed perspective vote on whether we want this to move forward or not. So giving this a yes vote before we have a fiscal note seemed to be a little bit cart before the horse.
Chair Nelson?
Maybe Ms. Roberts can explain.
Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair and members, I did not request a fiscal note on this bill because the only provisions I saw that had fiscal impact were the extensions of the HAVA appropriations, and maybe the Secretary of State can confirm that the other pieces of the bill don't have a fiscal impact. But if I can request one, I'm assuming other than the impact of the HAVA provisions, it would come back with no fiscal impact.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. To the A1 amendment, Chair Nelson, final comments on your A1 amendment.
Mr. Chair, again, this is just a technical cleanup and to get the bill in the order that the Secretary of State brings it forward. It's just to clean up some things that they missed in the bill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Members, this is the Chair's amendment. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no.
No.
The A1 amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A2. Representative New Brindley, if you would please proceed with testimony on the A2 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the consideration. This is a bill with just a few provisions in it. Most of it is tweaking a little bit. For example, the first provision, Subdivision 1A, is dealing with absentee ballot application protections. It prohibits anyone from soliciting or collecting absentee ballot applications from being paid based on the number of applications they collect. This really just mirrors protection related to voter registration forms. It's very similar to that provision. The next section regards ballot harvesting protections. This would prohibit ballot harvesting through the mail. It would require returning an absentee ballot on behalf of someone else to sign a log with their name, address, and phone number. It's currently already in statute that you cannot return the envelopes of more than three voters, but as it stands now, we have no way to track that. We have no way to know if someone is actually returning more than those three ballots. So that log would solve that problem. It also increases the penalty for violating ballot harvesting laws from a misdemeanor to a felony. And that felony is really in line with most other laws regarding protecting the integrity of elections. The next section is regarding ballot marking procedures, protections. This would require those assisting a voter to mark their ballot to sign a log, again, with their name and address and phone number. And again, it's already in law. There are significant protections on how many ballots a person can help mark, and that's three ballots. But we have, again, no way of tracking that. So this would just establish a log
to ensure that we can enforce that folks are just helping three people mark their ballots. And again, that would increase the penalty for violating that ballot marking assistance law from a misdemeanor to a felony, consistent with most other election law. The next is undue influence protections. This prohibits threats or undue influence to try to force someone to resist or to register to vote or apply for an absentee ballot. Again, this already applies to other areas of law. This just extends that to also the absentee ballot or registering to vote. Right now, it's just voting or selecting a candidate. So this just extends that undue influence prohibition. And then the last thing is bribery protection. Again, it's already in statute that bribery is illegal for a number of things regarding elections. This adds a prohibition on bribery for registering to vote or applying for an absentee ballot. So that really is, and that's actually already a felony. That portion of the statute is already a felony. That's the bill in a nutshell. The one thing I would like to note about what I am proposing here, and I hope the committee recognizes what's not in this amendment. You know, I recognize that issues regarding election integrity are sensitive and not always bipartisan in their approach. But I really did try to skinny this bill down to make sure that these are things that we can all agree on. I did not include things like provisional balloting. I did not include things like a voter ID and things like that. Those things that we know are sort of hyper-partisan. And so I tried to make sure that in this amendment, and actually I did offer this as a bill as well. I've requested a hearing on the bill. I've not heard back on that yet. But that's why I thought this is appropriate for the Secretary of State's election bill. Thank you, members, for your consideration.
Thank you, Representative New Brindley. Again,
Mr. Chair, I believe she has to move the amendment. I don't believe she did that.
Yep, just getting back to it. So we're going to take you, one Mr. step Chair. Back. Representative New Brindley, we're going to please move your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize, I don't have it in front of me. I believe it's marked the A2 amendment. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
I'd like to move the A2 amendment.
Okay, wonderful. Representative New Brindley moves the A2 amendment. Discussion on the bill. I see several hands. Let's see. Representative Drazkowski, you were first on my list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I was looking at the amendment, and I guess I have a question maybe for Mr. Gehring, or maybe is it Ms. Bonowitz from the Secretary of State's office? I don't even know what part of the amendment this is. The section isn't numbered, but it's lines 1.17 through 2.12 outline and create a responsibility for the county auditor to record the name of the individuals that the ballot harvester is bringing to them. There are up to three individuals that they can according to law, bring. And I remember the discussion I had with the Secretary of State a couple of weeks ago. It is already, as I understand, I'd be interested in those two individuals commenting on it. It is already in law that individuals have to log that information onto a sheet before they give their ballot to the person harvesting them and delivering them to the auditor's office. So, Mr. Chair, the question is for us to understand exactly what's in law now and what is the Secretary of State and what are the county auditors doing in order to facilitate the law that we have now.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. Ms. Bonowitz, is this a question you want to take? And again, I mean, again, I want to be succinct here. I don't think, you know, we're all capable of reading the bill. We're all capable of reading the amendments. I don't think we need a total rehash on our current election laws. But Representative Drazkowski, succinctly, can you restate your question, please?
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair, this is very important. We need to understand, before we bring an amendment like this or consider this part of law, we need to understand what is going on now. So the question is, what are the county auditors and the Secretary of State doing now when presented with what I understand to be a log that is required by a person bringing up to three ballots to the county auditor's office? What are they doing in order to properly record them now? Are they not recording them now when we have it in law that they're supposed to in order to facilitate this ballot harvesting, this piece of ballot harvesting that we have in the law? Are they not recording them?
Okay, I did hear a question there. Ms. Bonowitz, I see you have your unmuted, so if you would please respond to Representative Drazkowski's question.
Chair members, this is actually in our rules, and I, if it's okay, David Maeda, our office's Director of Elections, can go into a little bit more detail about what happens in that process right now, but it is within rules.
Okay, wonderful.
Mr. Chair, I'm assuming you want me to answer this.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was looking for you in my screen of names here. So thank you. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is David Maeda, and I'm the Director of Elections for the Secretary of State. To your question, Representative Drazkowski, yes, currently in our rules, anytime a person brings back a ballot that is not their own, it is required that that gets logged in by the county or the entity, city or township, accepting the absentee ballot, and they have to sign a log and present a picture ID verifying who they are. And that's, any voter that, any person that returns another voter, not, it has nothing to do with the three limit at this, in our current rules, it's returning anyone else's ballot.
So, Mr. Chair, if I could.
Yes, Representative Drazkowski.
And I didn't catch the gentleman's name.
Mr. Maeda.
Thank you. So Mr. Maeda, and I understand that part. So the person bringing the ballots in is required to have a log with the voters' information on it, as you mentioned. What is the government required to do then when that individual shows up?
Mr. Maeda.
Mr. Sharon Drazkowski, so when, as a county auditor, if a person shows up with another person's ballot, I'm required to make them sign a log and show me picture ID.
Representative,
so Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. So, Mr. Maeda, if we went around to each of the county auditors in the state, we should have a log that they have. We should be able to obtain through data practices the logs of everybody who delivered absentee ballots via someone else to the election in that jurisdiction. Is that right?
Mr. Maeda.
Mr. Chair and Representative Drazkowski, yes, you can request that information and they should be able to provide you the log that they kept.
Representative Drazkowski, final comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Maeda, I'm informed at a level that I wasn't before, and it'd be interesting to see whether the government's actually doing that.
Okay, thank you. Next on this particular amendment, Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the crux of this amendment is to show the people of the state of Minnesota that we have election integrity measures, that we are performing them, and they could have more confidence in the election. You know, we have a history going back over a decade of even statewide elections being decided by a few hundred votes. And people have, you know, when you have votes discovered in the trunk and other things, people wonder. And this amendment really is helping those people that have concerns to realize that we as a legislature want to ensure and show that we have increased integrity with our election and they can be at ease and calm. And I don't see anything in this amendment that at all is egregious or onerous. In fact, it's almost all completely related to current law and making it more visible that we are obeying current law and current statute. So I hope we can have a unanimous consensus that and show with this that we believe in election integrity and can reassure our constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Quam. I did not hear a question there, so we're going to move on to the next question. Representative Nash, you're next on my list.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative New Brinley, for bringing this. Just wanted to make sure that we did say what Representative Quam did, and we needn't have a question in everything that members say, Mr. Chair, but I do think that this is something that is a great amendment to bring forward so that folks in different parts of the state and different sides of the aisle and ideological spectrum feel a little more comfortable with how elections are administered. And I think that thank Representative New Brinley for bringing this. I think that it is an amendment that merits going on to the bill. I think that I hope the chair agrees, and we'll find out in a roll call vote here shortly, but I do believe that this is something that is worthy of putting onto the bill, and will say a lot about where the majority party is on their feelings regarding the election. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Next, I have Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a couple clarifying questions. Specifically in the part about the three voters. If I understood correctly, this would actually elevate the charge for exceeding helping three of your neighbors to a felony charge. Is that accurate?
This is to the bill author or the amendment author, correct?
Correct.
Representative New Brinley. Representative New Brinley.
Typically, with election law, as we see in other sections of this amendment that are already in law, things related to election law and election integrity are felonies. This would just make that consistent throughout.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to be really clear on something. My understanding is that a lot of other states actually do not have this limitation in statute. And what we're essentially saying by doing that is that if someone is kind enough and thoughtful enough to help their neighbor, someone who is elderly or disabled, that if they want to help more than three individuals to exercise their rights to vote, that we're going to charge them with a felony. And I have to be really honest with you, while I agree with Representative New Brinley on a number of things, that particular one for me does not sit very well.
Thank you, Representative Bonner. Members, let's keep in mind we have a hard stop on this bill at 9:30. That's in 21 minutes. I still have two more amendments I need to get to. Representative Drazkowski, we already had you go once. Please be succinct with any follow-up questions here. We do need to move on. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a question. I will be succinct.
Thank you, sir.
To respond to Representative Bonner, I mentioned in an earlier meeting, and I've talked to the chair about it, and I'm excited about showing to members an individual in our state, Minneapolis, that harvested 300 ballots in one day, self-admitted on video, and that was in one day. Many of them were unopened, and that is what we have going on in this state, Mr. Chair. That is why the felony level is very appropriate. We got to make sure this doesn't happen and that we have integrity in our elections. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Drazkowski, I'm sure we could debate that. That has been proven false, but we're going to move on here. Chair Nelson, before we do final comments from the amendment author, please your hand is up, sir. Please make your statement.
Mr. Chair and members, this is a purely a technical bill to clean up things enacted. This is actually an addition to the statute, not a technical change. This is actually a more substantive change, and I do not support this amendment and urge our members to vote no.
Okay. With that, I don't believe I heard a mention of a roll call vote on the
Chair,
amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Okay,
Mr.
very
Chair.
Good. Yeah. Just,
can I have a final comments as well?
Yes. Representative New Brindley, please. Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. I certainly don't need to belabor it. Again, you know, I've gone over the basics. I would just say that, you know, regarding the three-person limit is exactly for the situations that Representative Bonner addressed, right? We want folks to be able to help the elderly neighbor next door, but there's a reason that that three-person limit is already in law. And that's in law to prevent nefarious activities. So this simply, again, creates uniformity around the penalties regarding election law. I would request a roll call vote, Mr. Chair, and I would just reiterate that I hope that members, again, are looking at what's not in this bill. This is sort of, as I was thinking about election integrity and what we could do, I really am trying with this bill to do the reasonable person bill. This is the bill that passes the reasonable person test. This is the bill that folks can look at and say, of course, why are these things not already in law? And I hope that members of the committee will see that and vote yes on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative New Brindley. A roll call has been requested. Ms. Spreck, will you please take the roll?
Chair Nelson.
No.
Vice Chair Carlson.
No.
Representative Nash.
Yes.
Representative Bonner.
Pass.
Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Representative Elkins.
No.
Representative Greenman.
No.
Representative Cleavorn.
No.
Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Representative Mason.
No.
Representative New Brindley.
Yes.
Representative Pulaski.
Pulaski, no.
Representative Quam.
Yes.
Representative Bonner.
No.
With a vote of 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted.
Thank you, Ms. Breck. Next, we have the A3 amendment. The author here is Representative Nash. Representative Nash, would you like to move the A3 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the A3. The A3 removes the provisions related to expanding the absentee ballot processing period. As Ms. Bonowitz had talked about, they were hoping to expand that. The history for those that have not been on the committee in the past has been to have this bill be bipartisan and all elections bill be bipartisan. My side does not agree with the expansion of the number of days for this, so that is the reason for the A3, and I would request a roll call.
Representative Nash requests a roll call. Chair Nelson.
Mr. Chair and members, while I don't totally support this, but I, as I said at the beginning, and what the Secretary of State has said on this bill, this is a technical bill that they want to get through, technical cleanup bill of technical, just making technical changes, and they want support from both sides. And with that, I do not oppose this amendment. I support Nash's amendment that we move forward with that. And so I would say vote yes on this amendment.
Okay. I see Representative Bonner has just raised her hand. Representative Bonner, if you could be succinct with your question, that would be appreciated. Thank you. I will.
Thank you. You know, I think the one challenge I have in this is that, you know, we realize that a lot of folks voted via absentee. In fact, a lot of counties exclusively in rural areas vote by absentee, and the number of folks doing so has continued to increase. And I think when we talk about being common sense and making sure that we can ensure trust in our voters and have results on the day of Election Day, giving folks in those precincts enough time to accurately review those ballots and get them processed in time makes good common sense. While I will vote for this today because it is, we agreed to make sure that we go through on a bipartisan measure, I just want to go on record as saying that I think that this is a common sense measure to extend the window, and it just, this shouldn't be controversial, but I understand and appreciate that, and I will vote for the measure.
Thank you, Representative Bonner, very much appreciated. Representative Nash, did you request a roll call on this?
I did.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, Ms. Speck, will you please take the roll?
Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Nash.
Yes.
Representative Bonner.
Yes.
Representative Drazkowski.
Pass.
Representative Elkins.
Aye.
Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Representative Cleavorn.
Aye.
Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative New Brindley.
Aye.
Representative Pulaski.
Pulaski, aye.
Representative Quam.
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
With a vote of 13 ayes, the motion prevails. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Ms. Breck. Very much appreciated. Last amendment, the A4 amendment, also a Nash, Representative Nash amendment. Representative Nash, would you like to move the A4 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move the A4 and request a roll call. Would go down the road again of just, this simply removes the HAVA provisions. I think Ms. Bonowitz could probably give you a number for the amount of money that would be removed were this to be put into place. But again, the Republican side of the aisle is asking to remove this from the bill. There are a good amount of people in our state, in our different sides of the political aisle, that have angst with this. And if this is to indeed be a bipartisan bill, we would like to remove this and deal with this at a separate time. So I did ask for the roll call, so thank you.
Yes, thank you, Representative Nash. That's been noted. Representative Bonner, I have you next.
Thank you. I'll be short. It is my understanding that other states do not place similar restrictions on being able to spend the HAVA dollars in the way that Minnesota does. We essentially have placed ourselves as a middleman in the process. And I just want to say that I think that making sure that we are able to use those dollars, especially when we got a late start using them, might be something that is in order. And I just wanted to clarify quickly with Sam Bonowitz. Ms. Bonowitz, you know, if those funds, I just want to clarify, if they are not able to be used by the deadline, what happens to those funds?
Ms. Bonowitz.
Chair members, those would revert back to the federal government. And one of the reasons why we had this deadline in put in this law was because the federal government had this deadline that we had to use these funds by this date. And so we had it in state law to be consistent with federal law, and the federal EAC has since removed that deadline. So none of the funds would be removed with this bill. All it does is allows us to use these funds until they're expended. So I hope that answers your question.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I think there's a reason that we took those deadlines off at the federal level, in particular to make sure that we allowed states the flexibility to use those funds appropriately and to use them to fortify our elections. Let's not lose sight of what they were for. And with that, I will, of course, agree to this amendment again in the spirit of bipartisanship. But I just want to go on record saying that removing those deadlines is really a common sense measure to allow the state the flexibility to fortify its elections with those funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bonner. Again, members, as I stated at the beginning of the onset of this particular bill, we have a hard end by 9:30. We have other bills on this agenda, so we've got 10 minutes, and we still have three testifiers listed as well as some Q&A. So let's keep this moving. Please keep your comments and questions succinct. Again, to the A4 amendment, I have Representative Quam next. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we talk about HAVA repeatedly in this committee, and hopefully at some time we'll actually bring a bill forward that will help make us compliant with HAVA instead of being one of the three states that has an exemption from the portion of HAVA that guarantees everyone can cast a vote, and that's the provisional ballot. And thank you.
Thank you, Representative Quam. I appreciate your succinct comments there. Chair Nelson.
Well, like Representative Bonner, I don't totally support this amendment, but because of the Secretary of State's wanting to have a bipartisan bill, I believe we should vote for this amendment. As was stated, this is not new money. It's money that was already been appropriated and they're able to use. All this is taking the date off of it that would, where they would have to have the money spent by to comply. We put that on to comply with federal law, original law. The federal government's taken that off. This is just the language in the bill that is basically trying to comply with federal law. It is no new money, but again, to make this a bipartisan bill, I support the Nash Amendment.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Representative Nash, final comment on the A4?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and we'll proceed to a vote.
Wonderful. Ms. Spreck, please take the roll.
Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Representative Elkins.
Aye.
Representative Greenman. Representative Greenman?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Representative Cleavorn?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative New Brindley?
Aye.
Representative Pulaski?
Pulaski, aye.
Representative Quam?
Aye.
With a vote of 13 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Ms. Spreck. That is all I have for amendments. Moving on to our testifiers. Ms. Bonowitz, I just have you listed as available to answer questions. Did you have any further comments in terms of testimony?
Chair members, no. We're here for questions, myself and the Elections Director, David Maeda.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, next on my list of testifiers is Mr. Max Halerpin. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Mr. Halerpin, would you please proceed with your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I'm Max Halerpin, and I'm speaking on behalf of Citizens for Election Integrity Minnesota, an organization that advocates for verifiable, transparent, and accurate elections. And because of that focus, we particularly support two provisions in this bill. One is sections 45 and 46, regarding constitutional amendment recounts, ballot question recounts when amendments are proposed. And the other is section 61 and 62, which would adjust one of the thresholds in the post-election review. And I came prepared to explain the significance of each of those provisions, but seeing how under the gun you are with regard to time, I'll hold off on that unless there are any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Halerpin. I appreciate the brevity. Any questions for the testifier? Representative Kosnick.
I have questions on the final passage. Thanks.
Okay, very good. We'll get back to you. The next testifier we have is Mr. Rick Heller. Mr. Heller, if you could proceed with your testimony, and if you can keep your comments to 2 minutes, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, 2 minutes for people who have processing issues, frankly, is discriminatory. Let's start there. My name is Rick Heller. unofficially represent the twice exceptional people with print disabilities. I ask that the record would specifically reflect that. Come to speak on Mr. Nelson's bill. Specifically, if people want to go to the pages, they're welcome to do so. You go to pages 15.9 on the voting booth, and then page 15 says that they're striking the word accessibility system. I spoke last year at a committee. I'm not sure why this committee is different than the other one. It was a joint. Ms. Kiffmeyer was at it. I spoke about it, but raised a concern about digital accessibility at the polling place. I just had to open another complaint following up with the Secretary of State regarding the accessibility of voting booths. I've sent this to the chair and other people at the legislature, and I haven't gotten any feedback from them. I haven't heard back from the Secretary of State or the county on this election process. And B.B. Black said they were going to expedite it. Well, I filed two complaints after the election, two more complaints in the first of this year. Yet here I am still discussing the accessibility aspect of the elections. Let's go to line 22.5, okay? I'll give you one example. Now, this may be out of the purview, but did anyone know that the Secretary of State is not obligated, nor is the county obligated, to provide the printed names at the polling booth for people to have write-ins? But they do a courtesy and put it online. Yet, you know, the whole thing is they're supposed to have a sample ballot there, but they're not even required to have the write-ins. Like when I go vote, we have a bunch of election judges. Are there anyone else that got on that can get on the ballot for a write-in? You know, there's just something here that I'm missing on that. You know, you can improve this. Let's go to line 4420, improving access based on HAVA, okay?
Mr. Heller, you have 30 seconds, so please.
See, you're just eating up my time right there, sir. You just
Mr.
ate
Heller,
up
you have 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Okay, the other piece of this is when the OLA on page 9, it says that this Office Secretary of State is exempt from MINUT. That means Minnesota Statute 16E.03 Subdivision 9. Is anybody going to help me call Secretary of State or the election judge at the county, Mr. Triplett, to expedite this complaint that's over 5 years old now? You know, I'm trying to be engaged here. Where are the leaders? Who's interested? I mean, if Common Look could have been used, that's why I attached the documents. I don't know if you know this. This is my final one. If you can let me go past, because you can cut me off anytime you want, sir.
That's true. I can. So please wrap it up, sir.
First of all, this process for people to weigh in, it's not explicit. First of all, you got to give them a 24-hour notice. I got that. Okay. But you have to email. The phone call ain't available. The only reason I got in because I made a phone call. However, when I submit the documents, I don't know if anybody knows it. I did resubmit them, but I have to go gather up all the emails. It does not say anywhere explicitly anywhere on your homepage that if you don't submit them in 24 hours, it'll be thrown out by the LA or CA.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Heller. Thank you for your testimony today. If you would like to follow up with the committee chair or submit a letter to the rest of the committee, we would welcome that, but we do need to move on. Thank you, sir. Okay. That is all I have on the list for testifiers. Member questions. Representative Kosnick, you wanted to comment on the bill as a whole.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize. I'm going to leave my video off because my internet seems to be going in and out a little. And just kind of some general questions for the Secretary of State. And, you know, I know we're on a time crunch here, but that's the way it is. Section 9, I was wondering if you could comment on the post-election sampling. And is that information publicly available on your website or somewhere other than the county auditors? Section 10, it was a periodic update on the driver's license updates from the Department of Public Safety. It says May. Is that not a standard procedure that we're doing and with a particular time frame on that? Section 42 the election judges are no longer required to hand count the ballots in advance. If you could talk about that just a little bit to ensure the public understands what's happening there with voter ballot integrity. And then section 62, changing the standards for recount, if you could discuss the importance of that and why that's in there, just for understanding. And section 66 in the primary, deleting some public information, the part in there, if you could comment on those. And Mr. Chair, I recognize, I think those are important questions for the public to understand. Mm-hmm. You guys are running the committee, so if you if you're on the time crunch, that's your thing to manage. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Representative Koznick. Ms. Bonowitz and Mr. Maeda, perhaps there was a couple questions there. If you would please proceed with your response.
Chair members, Section 9 just provides a deadline for when county auditors need to submit this information to us, and that's because we have a legislative report that we submit on the postal verification cards and the ones that are returned as undeliverable. So that is public information. I apologize. I was trying to keep track of the questions, but might need to follow up with you, Representative, offline. I will say Section 42, that really just conforms the language around counting ballots at the end of the night. And these are blank ballots that are prepackaged in Saran Wrap. It conforms the language around counting ballots at the end of the election to mirror the language that we already have for counting ballots before opening a polling place, giving the election judges the same authority that they have now to presume that the ballots, that it has the correct number of ballots within it. And I apologize again. Like I said, I was trying to keep track of those questions, and I missed a couple of them. So might need to follow up with you offline if that's okay, or I can...
Representative, do you want to quickly restate? I think there was one more in there that you referenced another section.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was two, Section 42, tightening the standards for the recounts. If you could just publicly state the purpose of that.
Let's pause there. Let's pause there and let her respond to that and then get to the last one. Ms. Bonowitz, Section 42?
62, Mr. Chair. 62.
What was it?
Mr. Chair, Section 62, the recount tightening of... standards, the narrowness of the ballot recount?
Ms. Bonowitz.
Chair members, this really just aligns the post-election review, the escalation of the post-election review. If the results of the electronic voting system differ by more than 0.25% from the manual count of those offices reviewed. And this is really to align and be consistent with the statewide and federal offices and those triggered recounts. So it's just to bring those in mind.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
The last one, Mr. Chair, was just yes. On Section 66 in the primary, the part that's being deleted seems like we're removing some public information.
Ms. Bonowitz.
Chair members, Section 66 removes the requirement that there's a notice that the voter's choice of political party will be public information. That's just because that's no longer accurate. Now it's not public information, but it is provided to the major party chairs.
Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I have further questions, I'll just follow up there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your rapid fire series of questions there. Representative Bonner, I have you next on the list.
Yep, and I'll be exceptionally brief so we can get to our vote. I just want to say thank you for bringing forward the bill from the Secretary of State. I know this has been a long road, and this bill does incorporate technical fixes that are rather non-controversial and should always or never be controversial that have racked up over multiple years. And some of them also fix basic fundamental pieces in statute or conform to legal cases and things like that. So I'm delighted to see that we were able to come to an agreement on a bipartisan nature to get this bill through today. With that, Mr. Chair, I will cede the floor.
Okay, Representative Bonner, thank you. Representative Quam, we got to get rolling on here, so please keep your questions or comments brief. Representative Quam.
Thank you. I remember the four or five other times you had let us remind us that we need a brief. What I'm not seeing on here are the technical corrections that would fix issues that popped up during the audits by legislative auditor, during requests for clarification of verification of abnormalities in the tens of thousands over multiple elections that the Secretary of State was requesting a letter from myself, and then replied that, well, that's the county's job to verify these thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of mismatches from the federal verification on the Social Security Administration site. That's, again, part of HAVA. When I queried 15 counties, the responses, and they ended up having the auditors, county auditors association head respond that, well, the counties can't do this verification. It's not possible, and other excuses. And the sum of it was no one was verifying these mismatches. And so I would think a technical bill would fix the oversight of, hey, you know, we're supposed to verify and we're not verifying. There is no fix to the, you know, the audit. Again, this committee and in its form back in a couple sessions ago, so March 2018, you know, that audit revealed more than 26,000 individuals whose status was marked challenged because they failed one or more eligibility tests, voted in the November 2016 election.
Okay.
And remember, we're talking tens of thousands, and we have statewide races that have been decided by a few hundred votes. So I would like to find out why the technical bill correcting issues totally skips addressing these, you know, little abnormalities that are orders of magnitude greater than the difference in statewide races, let alone local races that are often decided by,
okay,
you know, 1, 2, 5, 15 votes.
Thank you, Representative Quam. I got the gist of it. I'm going to let Chair Nelson, the author of the bill, speak to that in his closing comments before we move to a vote. Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. This, like I said, this bill is a technical cleanup bill. And like we said, with the amendments that we saw from Representative Nash, the Secretary of State said the things that are objectionable to either side that they'll take out. I think some of the things that Representative Quam talked about were things to be objectionable to our side of the aisle and would not be supported in a technical bill that we want to have bipartisan support for. Again, that's what this bill is, just a technical cleanup, fixing some things that are in laws, fixing some things, just re-clarifying things. And so, members, with that, I ask for your yes vote.
Okay. Chair Nelson renews his motion to refer House File 1160 as amended to the General Register. The committee
To Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, real quick.
Chair Nelson, I'm sorry, who was, I didn't see.
That's Representative Nash.
Representative Nash, I'm sorry, Representative Nash. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the removal of the HAVA funding, I'm not exactly sure that the referral to Ways and Means is appropriate or needed.
Yeah, I thought we were going to the General Register myself. I'm looking for clarification.
I guess
the initial referral was to Ways and Means.
Mr. Okay. Chair.
Chair Nelson, yes.
The original referral was to Ways and Means, and I guess Ms. Roberts can clarify that if it needs to go there, if we
yes.
Took out reference to the HAVA funding.
Okay, it's a really good point. Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair and members, I think we need to clarify, there was discussion of the removal of the HAVA funds, but amongst the staff, Mr. Gehring and I, we think you actually voted on the A4 amendment again, and it's the A3 amendment that removed the HAVA extensions.
Okay, I'm looking at the A3, the Nash amendment, which was adopted.
It may have been, you may have been referring, sorry, Mr. Chair.
Okay, hold on here.
Mr. Chair, I know that we brought forward and adopted both the A3 and the A4.
That's correct.
Okay.
Oh, the A3 was Hava. But was I just stating them? Maybe I think in my notes I had them interchanged. Is that what happened? Yeah, they got mixed up. Okay. Ms. Roberts, then we're still with our final renewal of the motion of the House File 1160 as amended to the General Register.
Mr. Chair, if the A3 was adopted even and just referred to, if it was adopted, then the fiscal provisions are removed, and I think it could go to the General Register.
That's my understanding as well.
So, okay. Mr. Chair?
Chair Nelson.
I will amend or change my motion that House File 1160 as amended be referred to the General Register.
Okay, that's my understanding as well. Just so that we're correct on the record, Chair Nelson renews his motion to refer House File 1160 as amended to the General Register. The Committee Legislative Assistant will now take the roll.
Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Nash.
No.
Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski.
No.
Representative Elkins.
Aye.
Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Representative Cleborne.
Aye.
Representative Kosnick.
No.
Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative New Brindley.
No.
Representative Pulaski.
Pulaski, aye.
Representative Quam.
Nay.
With a vote of 8 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails.
Thank you, Ms. Breck. Next on our agenda is House File 788. I'm going to refer the chairmanship back to Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Vice Chair Carlson. Representative Representative Garofalo, are you still here?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. What missed this for a moment? What missed this for a
And so we can have the bills in front of us. Representative Garofalo has 3 bills that basically do the same thing in diminishing orders of how much that they do, and they're dealing with campaign finance issues. So I'll move so we have the bills in front of us and we can discuss all 3 at once. House File 773 to be laid over, and we're going to do that for all 3 bills, lay them over for possible inclusion. And members, I've been informed that because we're on Friday, we can go a little bit longer. So Representative Garofalo, if you want to explain your bills and tell us what they do. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So currently in law, we have restrictions on certain individuals or groups who can make donations, certain individuals or groups who can receive donations, and certain times of the year or situations when these restrictions are triggered. What these bills do in different fashions is simply expand the scope of those areas, whether in terms of who is restricted from making a donation, who is restricted from receiving a donation, and the time of year in which these donations can take place. I will highlight that one of the versions in terms of the time restriction, we focus on the purpose of the bill is to make sure that there isn't sort of this rush to the lobbyist coffers fundraising that takes place after an election and before a first session, before the first day of session. It's kind of a gross endeavor, and that's a summary of it.
Representative Garofalo, that would be House File 773, which we move. And how does that compare to the House File 774 and 770, if you get my numbers right, 788 with the levels?
Say that again, Mr. Chairman, you cut out.
What can you describe all 3 of the bills? Like I said, 774 tweaks that in a different way, and 788 tweaks it in another different way. So if you want to explain the difference between all 3 of them.
Sure. So on 773, what happens is that I check my notes here. So 773 basically expands the window that's in 788. So So in 788, we expand who is prohibited from making those donations. So under current law, we have specific groups. If you look at the nonpartisan research summary, Mr. Chairman, it says that under current law, the types of contributions that are prohibited are those from registered lobbyists, political committees, political funds, right? And so what this does is that it broadens that scope of individuals. The 773 version of the bill takes those broadened scopes and also includes that window of from after the election until the first day of the legislative session. And then it also includes that these prohibitions right now only apply to regular sessions. This would expand it to include special sessions. So if you think about it, you know, the entire purpose of having these restrictions in place is it's very unseemly to have members going out, raising money from political action committees and lobbyists, and then voting on that same bill the same day. Yet that's what is allowed under current law during a special session. Now, I will say, and again, this is pointed out in the research summary, that there's a House rule that in theory prohibits this, that during a special session, these restrictions are not, but this House rule is largely unenforced. And then when it comes to House File 774, this has to do with just the restrictions on contributions and receipt of those contributions. So again, we can avoid what is happening right now, which is political action committees, lobbyists are able to contribute to state parties. They're able to contribute to certain basic political operating units at the local level. And outside of right now, the restrictions are only applied to caucus fundraisers. And so this is a pretty big loophole.
So
that's the best I can do in 4 minutes.
I see how you said the one adds the I guess the lower level one, the way I'm describing them, and it may not be totally accurate, but is the one that says we can't add special sessions when we can't collect money, puts it in law, even though it currently is a House rule. And you can, when I get done, you can correct me. And then the other one, the next one, 770 or 788, is the one that, anyway, any further questions on the bills, on all three bills? And we're kind of discussing them all because they're kind of all dealing with the same thing. Members, any further questions? Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank the author to, it's nice seeing somebody step up and say we need to have more integrity, but also to show our public that we expect a greater level of visible integrity with our elected officials. So I want to thank the author. Thank you.
Further questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, and in closing, I would just say that I would ask you to please consider each one of these bills or facets of the individual bills as you put together your omnibus bill. Again, it's not an allegation of any impropriety right now. It's more about the perception of things and whether it's accepting contributions in a special session, this sort of mad fundraising rush we see between the election and the first day of session, and likewise, when we see the state party receiving large contributions, our state parties potentially receiving large contributions during the regular legislative session, whether it's linked or not to policy decisions, it just looks really bad. So I would ask you to consider any or all of the functions of these bills and appreciate the hearing.
Representative Nash, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll be brief. Thank you, Representative Garofalo, for advocating for fundraising integrity. Appreciate your efforts. And Mr. Chair, just to remind me, this is being laid over for possible inclusion or?
It's being laid over, yes, Mr. Okay. Representative Nash, it's being laid over for possible inclusion.
Yeah, so again, thank you, Representative Garofalo, for trying to shine a light on fundraising practices. Appreciate it very much.
Any further questions or comments? not seeing any hands rushing up. Representative Garofalo, thank you for bringing the bills forward. There are some of the things in there, like you said, the special session, not allowing fundraising. I know the speaker at least told our caucus that not to do that. I know we had a fundraiser, the party had a fundraiser that was canceled, or our caucus had a fundraiser that was canceled because it would have fallen during when we were in special session. And she was very strict about enforcing that with our members, but these bring up some good ideas and some ideas to look at and talk about. I see Mr. Sigerson is on the line. Does he have any questions or any comments about the bills and whether going forward?
Mr. Chairman, no, sir. I was just here in case there are any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Sigerson. Okay, members, with that, I will lay these bills over for possible inclusion. And with that, members, with no further business in front of the committee, we are adjourned.